Welcome again to another edition of My Awesome Empire. This week, we meet Paul Kyler. With less than 5,000 professional perfume makers in the entire world, you wouldn't expect to find one in the rural area of Menifee. But that's exactly where Paul's elaborate laboratory is located. He's also a successful photographer and artist, with many of his pictures appearing in places such as Inland Empire magazine, and his art has appeared in many different churches. Welcome back to My Awesome Empire. In the past, while traveling through Menifee, you might have been likely to catch the distinct smell of cows and a few horses. Today, at least on Paul Kyler Street, you're more likely to catch the sweet smell of success. Paul is one of the world's few perfume creators, and his creations are winning awards and fans across the country. But this Renaissance man actually has two other successful careers, professional photographer and respected artist. Cal State student Mindy McNeil visited Paul at his home and asked, what would attract a man from Menifee into the competitive world of perfume creation?
I have looked for an income that doesn't matter where I live for a long time. And I've found that perfuming and making perfumes is a craft, an art, that can be made anywhere in the world. So I'm very pleased that I live in this beautiful place in the countryside, and I can make beautiful art in perfume and many other mediums.
Well, Paul, I'm just going to just come out and just admit that I have some jealousy and some envy going on right now with your wife. I mean, how is it for her to have her own perfumist? I mean, there's just everything, a plethora of perfume around, someone just to custom make it for her. How does she feel about that?
She loves it because she can just ask, I want this. I want a new thing.
And you're just the wizard back there creating and doing this for her.
I do. She has a lot of fun with this, and I make things for her that I don't give to anybody else.
So, the custom, we love that. Women love those one-of-a-kinds. We love that. So, and then something, you know, just that popped into my head. Do you have something that maybe if she wants something to go for day wear or evening wear, or just, you know, fun festive times? Because I know some women do that. Like, I have my night cologne if I'm going, like, on a date or out to a, you know, dance or something. But then, like, during the day, if I'm running around campus, I'm like, oh, I just want something light and fluffy, you know. Do you do different things like that?
I certainly do things like that. My wife is kind of sticks with one thing, but I understand the change of time, and I do make perfumes that people can use at different times of the day, certainly.
Okay. Well, what sparked your interest in perfumes?
You know, we bought this house in Menifee in 2005, and I came from Orange County, and it was so nice and gentle, and I was used to going in my garage every day and making artwork, and came here, and it was just a tad hotter in the summer.
So we just a little bit, yeah.
we moved inside a lot, and so that, especially in the summer, I couldn't go out in the garage. It was too hot. So that pushed me inside, and I started exploring making perfumes just for myself. I wanted to explore something for myself because I couldn't find things that I liked, and I have a few allergies that I am allergic to, jasmine and I hate vanilla, and they were both in a lot of things. So I started making things for myself that I could like, that I wasn't allergic to, didn't give me a headache, and it grew from there.
Paul, you explained to me earlier, you know, moving up here, the process, getting away from the ocean. The thing that I realized is that there are very few perfumers in the world. There's less than 5,000. What kind of knowledge goes into being a perfumer?
The learning curve is really long and steep, because you have about 800 natural materials that you can pick from, and you have about 4,000 synthetic chemicals to pick from. So you have to learn the materials, how they're used, how they interact, what they're good for. Are they good for the top notes, the high things that you smell first, the flowery like you find in the middle, or do they make it last long for the base notes? And you have to understand how they interrelate, and you have to build a perfume with time in mind. It's a four-dimensional medium, because you not only have to compose little mini perfumes from the start to the finish so that it's a graceful dance from start to finish. It's very orchestral. So you have to be very careful with those things.
We were back in your workspace earlier. What do you call that?
I call it my perfumarium.
The perfumarium. Okay, we were back there. And you actually had mentioned that there was one scent or perfume that if you use it, it'll give some type of reaction, allergic reaction.
Sure. One of those things is called eugenol, and it's prominent in clove oil, in rose oil. It's in a lot of natural materials. And it's something that you have to be careful with. You have to keep the dosage low. If you put it on pure on your skin in the same spot for several days, you'd cause yourself a rash. And so you have to be careful with it.
You're listening to My Awesome Empire. This is Mindy McNeil, and we're in Menifee today at the home of Paul Kyler. He's an award-winning perfumer, a professional photographer, and a talented artist. Let's start with the photography. How did you get into that?
When I was about 11, I started in photography in 4-H. And from between the age of 11 and 19, I was very actively involved in 4-H and photography in Orange County. And when I started high school, then I started taking pictures for the newspaper and the yearbook. And by the time I left high school, I knew I wanted to be a photographer. I went to Orange Coast College, went through their certificate in still photography program, and started assisting other commercial advertising architectural photographers. And about 1984, I started my own career as a self-employed freelance commercial photographer.
All from the good old 4-H club. There you go. Now, your art falls into a very specific niche. Could you describe that to our listeners?
I consider most of the things that I do as art, my photography, my liturgical and ecclesiastical artwork for churches, and my perfume. I think they're all art. Sometimes perfume is called the eighth art, too. But my liturgical and ecclesiastical work is often based around crosses. I do a lot of crosses. I've made several crosses for churches in Orange County, some in Arizona, and I've made my biggest artwork yet is for a church in Chandler, Arizona, which was 700 square feet of stained glass, and then the altar and the podium and the pulpit, the baptismal font, the processional cross, and the wall cross.
Out of all your creations, what is your favorite?
Well, if we're talking about the one that took the most time and effort and learning other than perfumery, it would be that 700 square feet of stained glass in Phoenix, in Chandler, because it took 18 months to develop it and plan it, research it, buy the materials. And then it took 6 months of 12 to 14 hours a day, every day, to make 700 square feet of stained glass. So when you think about it, 700 square feet is as big as many small apartments.
It's huge. So there's basically, that's a labor of love right there. So yeah, I could see that. If you put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that.
A lot of blood, because my fingers would bleed 8 or 12 times a day.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, dealing with the glass. There you go. Now, going back to your perfume company, PK Perfumes, you've won some prestigious awards recently. Could you tell us about that?
Well, I debuted the line after 7 years of study. I debuted the line in Santa Monica last September at a perfume salon event for a small artisan niche perfumers. And I got a gold award for the best aroma and a couple other awards that I can't remember what they were for.
Out of all of those creations, which one stands out to you the most?
Well, I have a favorite that is called Air, E-R-E. And it's a fragrance that took 2 years to develop and perfect. And it uses one of the materials from California that is a fern that I go up into the Sierra Mountains and harvest. And it's called the Kit Kit Dizzy Fern.
What is a Kit Kit Dizzy?
That's the Indian word for it.
Okay.
It's the people that live in the Northern California in the gold country, they call it mountain misery because they can't kill it. And when it goes through a fire, it's the first plant that comes back after the fire, and it doesn't let many other plants grow up through it. So it kind of takes over in a spot. But in the summer, the resin content and the essential oil content in that resin is as high as 12%, which is very, very high. And so I just put that into an alcohol, and it's called a tincture. And I put the fern into the alcohol twice. I charge the alcohol twice. And then I have a, it's like a 25% dilution of an essential oil. And it's a beautiful, natural fern scent that I only know of three other perfumers in the world that are using it. I just sent a sample of this tincture to a big flavor and fragrance house in New York, and they're analyzing it, and they're seeing what they can learn from it.
So what could possibly be next for the Renaissance Man from Menifee?
I would like to be more involved in my pastor to artist's capacity as well. Perfume making is a activity that doesn't matter where I live. And so that's beyond raising my children, which are now 6 and 8. Those are the things where I'd like to move towards. So my task is to help artists, creative personalities, learn how to know Jesus and God better and relate to the church better. The Protestant church in particular has had a particularly bad relationship with artists. And so I would not only like to help improve that relationship, but improve the relationship of artists with their creator.
Okay, Paul, a lot of women, myself included, we wear perfume. So from a perfumer's standpoint, what do women need to know and understand regarding, you know, if I go and get a discount perfume at a swap meet, or I go and get a nice quality bottle of perfume?
Well, for the most part, all mass market perfumes are made very cheaply. The juice inside the bottle costs much less than the packaging. They are meant to make a lot of money with as little cost as possible. Whereas someone who works in the niche market, someone who is a small perfumer like myself and the other friends that I have, we work much more on the craft. And we include expensive materials in our perfumes. And they have a much higher quality level just by virtue of the materials that are chosen to be used.
Just listening to you, I'm trying to put a visual to things. So I think about, okay, if I go to a buffet, I'm getting fed. You know, it's mass produced. It's just slammed together. It's just there. It's not great quality. If I go and sit down at a nice restaurant, I'm getting a nice meal, maybe a nice steak. I walk away with a different experience. And I think it's more than the attention to the details, just different things. Is that the same kind of path that you're going as well?
It is. It's artisanal fragrance development. It's complex. My work is orchestral in nature. It's about nuance and development and grace. You get that sometimes in mass market commercial perfumes, but they're going to be more expensive. And for my work, I include a lot of natural materials because the naturals are very useful for rounding and complexity and an ease of beauty. But then I mix in the synthetics that are for cleanliness and power and longevity and projection.
What's another reason why I would be inclined to even buy perfume? Why do women seem to be inclined to do that?
You know, I think that one of the great reasons to explore perfume is to help learn about yourself and share your real self with the people around you. Are you a flowery person? Are you a dry person? Using the right perfume is helpful for you to know yourself better and share who you are with the rest of the world.
Paul's perfumes can be found at pkperfumes.com. His art can be seen at artasservant.blogspot.com, and his photos can be seen at kylerphoto.com. If you didn't catch him, those links are also available on our My Awesome Empire Facebook page. Coming up, 9-year-old Emily Faulkner of Fontana shares her award-winning letter to author Nancy Tillman. It's one of those moments on our show you just won't want to miss. Stay with us.